got a good feeling from him. I was pleasantly surprised. The media has painted them, and I'm saying NPR or the media has painted them as a group of unemployed persons with nothing better to do. And the few that I've actually taken the time to speak to have been well-educated. And, you know, despite not having a cohesive nationwide message, I left the impression that this Occupy Raleigh group actually had their stuff together.
There is this tremendous inequity with 40% of the wealth being owned by only 1% of the people. And it's this inequity that crushes the middle class and, as a result, crushes the economy.
And we've been out there every single day, and we've been in the news almost every single day. And, you know, Occupy Wall Street certainly has been every day. So the fact that we're there 24 hours a day is making a point, and people are recognizing that, you know, we're serious about this. And it's not something that we're just going to let go away. There's essentially a small group of people in this country who have exorbitant amounts of money, and they have the potential to donate unlimited amounts of money to campaigns and buy out politicians. The fact is, they're silencing all of the average Americans who can't do things like that.
I wouldn't say I'm a supporter of the protesters. I don't have a problem with what they're doing. I don't believe they have a cohesive message at this time, so I'm not going to come out and say I support them. However, being a businessman, I saw an opportunity to provide them a piece of land that they needed. And I had supply, they had demand, and took advantage of it. I support capitalism, and that's the bottom line. This is a business decision. These people had a demand for a place to stay. I have a lot that currently the city is not blocking from staying on. They're paying me. It helps me pay my bills.
The press has been focusing on the occupation and not on the message. The other problem is that when you have a very diverse group of people that are each choosing their own way in which they want to express their frustration, you end up with occasional problems. And so it's those problems that end up getting reported.
Could you tell me a little bit about yourself? What you do, what your business is about?
Yeah. So I own a business called Chatterbox. We've been in business about 10 years now. We are a Sprint certified business dealer. And that's my day job.
Okay.
So my day job has afforded me the ability to buy a little bit of property around town. One of the parcels I've purchased is the parcel that you're calling about, located 11 Northwest Street. And I bought that in October of 08 with the intent of building an office building for my small business. However, our business model changed, and I did not see it through, at least not yet. So I've been holding the land, paying the mortgage on it, just sitting on it.
Oh, okay. So it's basically there's nothing there.
No, there's nothing there.
Okay, great. How did this get arranged? How did the protesters get in? Did they get in touch with you and ask you about the property?
Well, I've been keeping up with the news, and I noticed the mayor-elect Nancy McFarland was trying to arrange a lot for them over on Lenore and Blunt, parking lot over by Shaw University, and she was talking with a guy named Joseph Huberman, and Joseph used to be my landlord. 7-8 years ago now, I lived in one of his apartments, so I know Juice. I knew of Joseph and had a rapport with him. And so when I saw that the Occupy protesters didn't necessarily want that lot on Lenore and Blunt, I made a phone call to Joseph and said, would you guys like to lease my land? And we went back and forth, negotiated as any business transaction does, and they ended up signing a lease.
Hey, I should have asked you this before. Is it okay if I record this and use this on the air?
That'd be fun.
Okay, great. So why did you do it? Are you a supporter of the protesters?
I wouldn't say I'm a supporter of the protesters. I don't have a problem with what they're doing. I don't believe they have a cohesive message at this time, so I'm not going to go on air and say, or come out and say I support them. However, being a businessman, I saw an opportunity to, provide them a piece of land that they needed, and I had supply, they had demand, and took advantage of it.
And they're paying you rent, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's $400 a month. That's at least from the article that I've seen.
I'm not going to talk about the lease details, but the article that you read was correct.
Okay, gotcha. And this is the News and Observer article that we were looking
at. Yeah, they did not get that from me. I'm assuming they got that from the anonymous payee.
Okay. Have you been in contact with the protesters much?
I've been in contact with Joseph Huberman and two or three other persons involved. And then my experiences with him have been so far as to drive by and drop my truck off for a couple hours, let them load the back of it with weeds that were in the lot. So I've met, I would say, a dozen of them at this point, and got a good feeling from him. I was shocked. I was pleasantly surprised when I met him. Let's put it that way.
What do you mean by you got a good feeling from them?
Well, the media has painted them. Not saying NPR or you, but the media has painted them as a group of unemployed persons with nothing better to do, and uneducated bunch of people. And the few that I've actually taken the time to speak to have been well educated. And despite not having a cohesive nationwide message, I left with the impression that this Occupy Raleigh group actually had their stuff together.
Do you think that did they tell you about how long they plan to stay there?
I've heard many a different answer on that from the group. Their goal is to last until next election.
Till the next election. Would you be willing to put them up for that long, or not put them up, but at least
as
the land to them?
As long as the check clears and as long as the city doesn't stop me.
What do you think the city might do? From the article, they said there may be some zoning rules to determine. Is there anything to that?
Not that I've been alerted to so far. I would imagine if they do have issue with it, they would send me a letter demanding I cease and desist. And if they do, I'll take action, whatever's necessary to either pacify the city or fall in line with their demands. But I look at it this way. The city, but the mayor-elect was trying to find them a piece of land to occupy. They wanted them off the Capitol grounds. And this accomplishes exactly what they wanted. They didn't have to get involved. So I would like to believe that they're going to take this as a win-win and just leave it alone.
How many protesters would you say have been there on a nightly basis?
I haven't driven by at night.
Okay.
I haven't gone by there at night to see. I do believe there's about 15 tents out there now. They have a port-a-john as well, which I was surprised with. I'm not paying for it, and that's totally on their onus, and they're doing that on their own accord. And they seem to have this big community tent set up as well. I don't know if you'd call it like a CPR tent or like a healthcare tent or something, but it seems to be a larger tent than the actual sleeping tents that the other ones are being used for people to spend the night in. So
it sounds like you weren't at all uneasy with being tied in any way to the protesters. Are you worried at any point? This is such a political issue. Do you think there could be
backlash?
Yeah.
Sure. There could be backlash in anything you do when you wake up in the morning. You do something. Who the heck knows? So the way I look at it right now, and I was quoted in the NNO as saying, I support capitalism. And that's the bottom line. This is a business decision. These people had a demand for a place to stay. I have a lot that currently the city is not blocking them from staying on. They're paying me. It helps me pay my bills. I'm a small business owner living in America, trying to make it.